Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sound guy, maybe this is the session we start to turn it around, bud. Week 46 of 50, back in LA. Session plus scoreboard check. It's 2 p.m. ish on Saturday, November 20th, 2021. I'm at the Hustler for the Brandrew meetup games. That's Brad Owen and Andrew Nemi, and they travel around the country and maybe around the world. I'm not sure. And they have these meetup games where they will start a list early in the week. They will get maybe, they'll get hundreds of players to come out. And they will leave one seat open at each table. And they'll just bounce around and have beers and spew off to their fans. And I am both a fan and a friend. And I'm trying to show my support on this day at the Hustler Casino in L.A., who also sponsors this podcast. So it really makes sense for me to be there, although personally, I'm not doing so hot. I am beyond spent. I am all worked out, and I haven't been to the gym, if you know what I mean. I am on edge. I don't know if any of you, well, I'm sure some of you, have worked so hard for so long that you're just... It's not even that you're grumpy. You're on edge. You just have nothing left in the tank. Well, that's where I'm at personally going into this session. And Tommy Angelo would not like that, probably. But also, I just tell the story in this podcast, whatever it is. And the story of season 4 is me building long-term revenue streams through content. And just telling the story of my life, which is very unbalanced. It's all work and basically no play. And it's working until you're too tired to work and then working several more hours after that, getting through on caffeine and, aging rapidly, looking different, gaining weight, all that stuff that I'm going to try and rectify next year. And hopefully I'll be able to document that in a season 5 of Sessions. But yeah, it's 2 p.m. and I'm in, you know, one of the most beautiful places in the world, L.A. And I roll up to the Hustler Casino for the Brandrew meetup games. And there's going to be a bunch of tables and a bunch of cool poker players, enthusiasts. And I've never been to one of these. I've seen them. I've seen the lists on Bravo or Poker Atlas where... A room that gets usually 1-2-5 game will have like 15 2-5 games, and it's for Brad or Andrew or other vloggers. Check Raise Charles does meetups up in the Bay Area and so on. Mariano does meetups in different places, and I've never been to one, but I've seen them. I've seen the vlogs of them, and I'm a fan. This is the resurgence in poker. So poker had a boom, and then it's slowly been deteriorating, in my opinion, since the boom ended. The games are getting smaller, the action's getting worse, and it's just really hard to find games where you can even make money because the rake is too big compared to the average size of the pot. And this is the resurgence, these vlogs. And Andrew Nemi is basically a godfather. Trooper is too. And Brad Owen's the boss. And these guys have done a lot for poker. They have. That's not just me being a cheese dick. They have. They've created a buzz, as has the poker streams. And the newest one, Hustler Casino Live, where I work, is the best. Ryan Feldman and Nick Vertucci and Sean Yapel put that together. So shout out to all these people who are literally, you know, breathing life. Not literally, because that doesn't make any sense, but you know what I mean. They're breathing life into poker. It's a resurgence, and it's not another boom, but it's a resurgence, and everyone that likes to play poker for money or otherwise, you know, should respect these dudes. And I do. And that's why I'm here on this day when I really shouldn't be. I have that. I don't have anything in the tank at all, but that's okay. You know, there's a lot of variance in poker. So even though I'm not going to play my best, I could still win. And I'm going to be playing against players that I assume aren't world class, because we're going to be playing 5-5, 300 to 1K buy-in. And yeah, so it's, you know, it's just the story for now. And hopefully it'll make for a good story in the long run. Next year, when my schedule gets better and I start exercising and working on my game again and dedicating myself to poker for one last time, this stuff will make that better. It'll be a better lead up to that. It'll set the stage better for that. You know, that's what I'm hoping. And then next year will be the beginning of me starting to ascend in life. It's not all about finances for me. I do want to get out of debt. I do want to be secure. That would be amazing. Most of my stress in life comes from finances. But beyond that, I just want to ascend in life. I want to put out good content. I want to entertain. And I want to do good things. I want to keep building the community that I'm building. It's pretty special. And it's definitely not perfect, but it's very special overall. And I do believe it's good. It's good for people. And then it's contagious. People, what the culture of being communal, of not being a nit, it's something that I want to, you know, keep focusing on the rest of my life, keep building and just do what I can do to make things a little bit better in the world. And that's idealistic. And so what? I'm a fucking idealist. And we should probably talk about some poker here pretty soon, because this is a session review, and we will. It's, yeah. And so the plan was come here, have beers all day, have fun, hopefully win some money, play some pots against Brad, play some pots against Andrew, and then take a nap. And then, you know, drive back down to San Diego to be with my kids the next morning. So that was the plan. And then heading over to the Hustle, I knew, no, I just don't have it. I can't drink any beers. I'm too tired. I'm going to try and put in a very short session and document it. And hopefully it shines a little tiny light on what's going on with the vloggers, specifically these two, and what's going on at the Hustler. And it's all good stuff. And I don't know. So plan was have drinks and battle with these guys and spew it off. And the plan changed. I have played with both Andrew and Brad before, not in a meetup. I played with Andrew at 510 Bellagio one night, and maybe more, but I remember one night. And we didn't battle too much. He was on my left. We did battle once in a blind versus blind or blind versus straddle situation, and he was trying to bluff me, and I was sticky, and he binked the river, and it wasn't a big pot, but I do remember that hand against him. And I played 5-10, I assume 5-10-20 at the Aria with Brad, and we got it in, and he had those pesky jiggities, as he calls them, and I had cowboys, as everyone calls pocket kings. And someone else actually had aces. Three-way all in, and I binked king. So I do have some history with them. And I think the history with Brad is in this season, and the history with Andrew is probably in season 3. I'm not sure where it is. But hopefully I'll get to play with at least one of them before I go. Yeah. So this is a smaller game than I played with them, or I usually play. It's 5-5, 300 to 1K, and there will be straddles on, I'm sure. And I'm going to say one last time, I am on edge going into this session. I'm not me. You know those moments where you're like, I'm not me right now. Like those Snickers commercials where the guy needs a Snickers, but it's that times 10. I know I'm not me. I'm short. I tilt quick, all that. That's not me. It's just what my situation has done to me. And working too hard has done to me, and it's okay. I've needed to do it, and I don't think it's going to kill me. I think I'm going to be able to recover and I just need to get through this year. And I'm not proud of going into this session on edge. I'm also not ashamed. It's just the fucking story for now. Okay, let's shuffle up and deal, as they say. I'm the cutoff. So they draw cards to see who gets the button, just like any normal game. And I'm in the 8 seat, or the 9 seat, I guess. We're playing 9-handed, but the 5 seat's open for Brad or Andrew to pop in. And I'm in the 9 seat, and the button goes in the 1, so I'm the cutoff. And it folds to me, and I have King 9 offsuit, and I would open this in the cutoff in a time collection game, where that means you pay the rake up front. Everyone pays time for the half hour. But in a game where they're going to rake the pot, I decide I'm just going to fold. Okay. And I'm just telling, I'm going to be very detailed in the session review because it's not a long session. And that's okay. And it's also, it should be good practice for next year when sessions is just going to be sessions. It's not going to be life story. It's, you know, maybe there'll be some interviews. Maybe there'll be some, you know, bonus life story content. I'm sure there will. But mainly it's going to be 3 sessions a week. And I'm going to do my best to paint the picture of what happened, the colorful characters, anything that happened with the staff and the big pots. And I'm going to focus on 2 hands, my best play and my worst play. Well, in this one, I'm going to focus on 1 hand a lot, and that'll be good practice for next year, and we'll get there soon. The next note is fold queen 5 offsuit, let's go. And that's just me being sarcastic with myself and my notes, and that's stupid, and that's okay. You play poker as long as I have, you gotta be stupid, either in talking to the table or in your notes to get through. And we all have masks on because this fucking coronavirus won't go away. It's not getting the hint that no one wants it, but you know, around, but that happens. We've all been at parties where one person doesn't get the hint that no one wants them there. Well, that's coronavirus. Okay, so here we go. Here's the hand. Let me take a sip of coffee to, wet my whistle. I'm under the gun. This is going to be my first VPIP of the day. I have pocket queens. So I said my default would be to open the King 9 offsuit in the cutoff, unless there's like a beast on my direct left. And a beast meaning someone who's going to be in there a ton and 3-betting a ton. Then maybe I would fold it. But my default in a game that I normally play, or I should say I used to normally play and for, you know, sometimes play and prefer to play bigger with time collection, I would open that King 9 offsuit in the cutoff. But the rake is a factor, and I decide not to. Well, here, my default is to open 3x, but maybe I should consider opening 4x because of the rake. And I've never really done math on that and really thought it out because I don't plan on playing it in raked games for very long. So, I don't know, maybe I should do that. But anyways, I open to 3x with pocket queens under the gun, and there's merit to opening to 4x because of the rake in the small game that we're playing. And it folds around to the small blind. So it's 5-5, and I go to 15, and they both throw 10 more dollars in there. Small blind and big blind. And the small blind doesn't really matter in this hand. The big blind, I don't know anything about yet. Just a younger guy, and I'll find out about him soon. So three-way action, there's 40, 45 in there, and you know, before they rake. And the flop comes 10 of clubs, 6 of clubs, 4 of spades. And I have black queens, okay? And so the small blind checks, and now the big blind leads 30. And that's a big, that's 75% of the pot, because at least, you know, 5 went to the rake or even more, but it's over 75% of the pot, and he's leading into me. And this is an interesting, this is a donk bet, and it's an interesting line that he's starting out with. And this is typically top pair or sometimes a slow played over pair, or it's a flush draw or maybe a straight draw. He could have 5-7, 5-3. I guess he could have 7-8. That's a double gutter. But typically when someone leads into the preflop raiser, you know, it's the first hand I V-pipped on the day. They don't know me at this table. And, you know, and we're all wearing masks. And so my range should be pretty strong in their minds, opening under the gun, my first hand of the day. And this guy leads into me for a big part of the pot. It was 45, and then they probably dropped 7. And so he leads 30 into 38. It's big. And I could raise here. If I was certain this was a flush draw, I might raise now. I might raise on the turn. Either way, I'm never folding, obviously. And out of position, I'd be more inclined to raise. But in position, I decide I'm just going to flat here and let him hang himself, if you will. And if, you know, the turn card could come another club, and then I'll, either way, I'll figure out what he has by just flatting. And we also don't know what the small blind's going to do. Small blind might have flopped something, and we'll find out. And so the options are either flat or raise, and I prefer flat here. Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a big percentage of the pot. If it was, it also protects my range a lot, where I have everything that I open with. I have two over cards here with back doors. I have flush draws, whatever. But I just happen to have a big over pair. And I call, and the small blind folds. So we had 38 in there. And then we each, the big blind put in 30, and I put in 30, and the other guy folded. So we have 98 in the pot. Okay. And the turn is a break. It's an offsuit deuce. So 10, 6, 4, 2, 10 and 6 of clubs, and 4 of spades, and deuce of, like, hearts. And this is where I'm going to, if he checks, I'm going to bet. And if he bets, I'm likely going to raise. And he bets, but he bets a little too big for me to raise. He bets 65. And typically, when someone takes this donk line with top pair, they're going to go from 30 to 40, 50, or 60. They're not going to go much bigger than that. When they go a little bit bigger than that, it's kind of polarized. And now I just, you know, it would be kind of an overplay for me to raise with queens, given his sizing, I believe. And so the plan was flat the flop, raise the turn. But his turn bet is too big. It's, you know, it's two-thirds of the pot. And it's just, you just don't see that with top pair very much. So now it's more like, you know, draw. It could be top pair, but you got to weight it more towards draw or something big, right? Like maybe he flopped a set, or maybe he turned a straight. And so I just flatted with the two queens. And the river is a very interesting card. It's a six. And so he also could have had two pair on the turn. He could have had in the hand like 10-4 suited. He could have had 10 deuce. Who knows? The river is a six. And so it was 10-6 of clubs, 4 of spades, and deuce of hearts. And now it's a 6 of diamonds or whatever. Doesn't matter. And now he leads, you know, the pot is 30. It is $228. And he leads 100. So less than half. And now this isn't polarized at all. This seems like going for value with top pair, maybe a weak bluff. This is all you, the way you play poker is all you do is read their line and play against it in games like this. And so when he, if he bets bigger, I'm just flatting. 100, I feel like I have to raise. And I don't want to raise big. I want to raise small and get a crying call from top pair or a weird hand like pocket eights. And I can rep a bad bluff, right? I can just, he doesn't know me that I wouldn't make a weak bluff on the river. A lot of people do make weak bluffs on the river. And so I go to 250. He bet 100, I go to 250. He snap goes all in for 330 more. Whoa. My head fucking explodes. Like JFK. There's fucking cranium and hair and everything splattered all over the wall at the Hustler. No, that's graphic and dark. It's not what happened. But I did say, what the fuck? And, you know, just in my head, what was that? His line makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense from start to finish. And that puts a hand reader in a tough spot. And his all-in is $330 more. So I'm getting a nice price on a call here. What did I say the pot was? The pot was what? I think I said it was 138. Is that right? It was 98, and then it was 128. And now he bets 100, and I go 250, and he matches the 250 and 330 more. So 628, 958, and it's 330 to win 958. So essentially, I need to be good 25% of the time here to call. And I like everything. I like how I've played this hand against this unknown. In this game, I've never played it. I've never played in a meetup game. I've heard they're fucking fantastic. Not only are they fun, but I heard that they're very like juicy for these stakes. And my head's kind of spinning. I've been in the abyss in poker. I can't get anything going. And so that's, things aren't going to be clear at the table. And I've also, you know, as I belabored at the beginning of this, I've just, grinded myself to dust. So it's going to be tougher to figure out what to do here. And I don't want to take too long. Obviously, anytime you're in a game, you don't want to take too long because there's other players. It's not all about you. You don't have that luxury. It's not about you. It's about the table. And that's kind of how I feel about life anyways. So what to do? Let's just replay this hand. And of course, you should know what you're going to do when you raise, when the guy is going to have 330 behind. But you never expect a snap all in, right? If he postures a little bit and goes all in, you can fold. The snap all in is fucking interesting. And it was like, I said 250 and goes all in. And just snap like that. So let's replay this hand because it's extremely confusing, hopefully interesting. I'm at the Brandrew meetup games on a Saturday in November at the Hustler Casino in LA. And I've folded to my under the gun and I opened queens and both blinds called. And so there's 45 in there and then they take 7, 38 in there. And it came, so maybe I've said the, well, anyways, 38 in there, and it comes 10, a club, 6, a clubs, 4, of spades. And the small blind checks, and the big blind, just some kid, I don't know anything about him, leads $30 into 38. And it's a, I'm going to call here and let him hang himself. That's an old school term. And it's really just, it protects my range, and it's going to make the hand really hard for him to play. It should make the hand really hard for him to play. And we don't know what the small blind has. And so I'm going to flat here and keep my range wide. And oh, shit. Sound guy, I told you to turn the alarm off on my phone, man. What are you? You don't even care anymore, do you? What? I know. I got to get my kids soon. We're doing a podcast, man. Okay. So where were we before sound guy's blunder interrupted us? I just flatted the flop, the 30 into 38. He's probably thinking 30 into 45. Maybe he's just thinking 30. Who cares how much the pot is? Good chance. Anyways, I call in the small blind folds. The turn is a brick, a red deuce, 10 of clubs, 6 of clubs, 4 of spades, deuce of whatever, hearts. And now he leads 65. And I planned to raise this street because his donk line is so often top pair or a draw, and this is the break you're hoping for, but he leads too big. He leads 60 into 98. He leads two-thirds here. This is not consistent with top pair. If he's thinking, which I don't know if he's a thinking player. I don't know what the fuck he's thinking. And, we have mass on. It's just hard to know what's going on. And so instead of raise here, I feel like that would be an overplay. Given his sizing to raise the overpair now, I decided to just flat. And then the river pairs the six. And so he could not have had 6x of clubs because the 10 and the 6 were the clubs. And so when he leads 100 here, it's very likely that he has 10. And now he's gone less than half pot. And probably I'm overthinking all this, and he's not thinking about percentage of the pot at all. There's a solid chance. And so, but it is a very wide value bet on the river by him. And I'm extremely under-repped, and I decide to go to 250 and just try and rep a bad bluff. He doesn't know who I am. A lot of people are going to bad bluff a lot. People miss their draw, and then they raise small on the river. It happens all the time in these games. And he snap goes all in for 330 more, and oh, shit. I think in my mind I planned on folding if he jammed, but I did not expect him to snap jam, and so none of this makes sense. And so I'm going to take a sip of coffee, and I want you all to be honest and say, you need to be right about a quarter of the time here to call. Are you folding or are you calling? Because we're going to find out what happened. Maybe I folded and we saw what his hand was. Maybe I folded and we didn't see what his hand was. Maybe I called and, of course, we saw what his hand was. So you guys play this hand while I take a sip of coffee. What are you doing to this snap all in getting, a nice price, getting 3-1 on your call, potentially. All right, did you fold or did you call? I called. It didn't make sense to me. And when things don't make sense, and this is a meetup game where I've heard people just punt, and this seems like a clicky, you guys just clicking buttons, and so you just click the snap all in, and he has 9-6 of hearts. Motherfucker, 9-6 of hearts. So he got max value with his hand, and he got really lucky, obviously, and he played his hand just so weird, and he led middle pair on the flop for 80% of pot or whatever into the preflop raiser. It's not standard. It's not even common, and then he led second pair into the preflop under the gun raiser, first VPIP of the day, 2/3 pot, not standard at all. And then he binked trips, and he bet less than half pot, which when you'd think he'd be betting more than, half pot, given his other sizings and given how his hand now beats just about everything I have. And so probably accidentally, he induced all the money going in on the river. And it's confusing. When you're in the abyss, every hand is like this. Just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is this guy doing? And what should I do against it? Should I just be really just flatting over pair here all the way down? I don't know. And I would have raised the turn, but he just bet $5 more than I thought anyone would ever lead with one pair in general into the preflop raiser, and he just probably wasn't thinking about any of this shit. And the snap all in is weird because he needs me to have exactly what I have, and he's not even thinking about what I have. And of course I was 80%. If you look at the two hands, queens against 9-6 of hearts, it was 80-20 preflop, and I was in position. And then on the flop, when he dunked, he had 19% equity. I had 81. And on the turn, when he double donked for a big percentage of the pot, he had 11% and I had 89%. And so, yeah, I ran, poorly in the hand. That's just math. But also, what a weird motherfucking hand. And I'm on tilt. I just am on tilt right away. And not overtly. No way am I going to overtly tilt in a meetup game. I'll do it in my own meetup game, sure. With my patrons, yeah. But with all these people that watch Brad and Andrew's vlogs, no, I'm just going to, tilt inside. And I just write my notes. It's time to get... This is how every hand has gone for months. And not every hand, obviously, but so many that it feels like every. And this is the abyss, and you're going to get confused, and every little thing that happens is going to work against you. And hold that thought for a second. And so now the goal is just to play 1 hour. And that seems impossible at this point, and probably most of you cannot relate to this, where 1 hour of poker seems impossible. Well, it's not my preferred stakes. I don't like full ring in general, and I'm just overworked. I want to drive down to San Diego, get some rest, and get my kids. And I haven't seen them for a week. I've been up at the Hustler, and I love these guys. I don't know Andrew that well, but I've seen him a few times, and he's a patron, and I've hung out with Brad a bunch, had many beers with Brad, and I love these guys, and I want to do whatever I can. They don't need my help at all, but I want to do whatever I can to shine a light on the good shit they're doing and the good shit the Hustler's doing. But now you have an angry vet at one of your tables, and I'm going to keep that inside. And the moment it starts to, you know, come out, I need to go. And so now the very next hand is my big blind, and I get king 10 offsuit, and it folds around to the dude who just doubled through me, and he says, "You want to chop?" And I have to say yes. I said, "Sure." And obviously, I want to battle. I want to play you heads up, kid, from now until the end of, you know, time. But they just say, "Yeah, chop." So now the next hand on the small blind. So I didn't play any hands. Now I played three in a row. I played queens under the gun and lost, you know, a bunch to 6-9 that rivered trips and took the weirdest line in the history of poker. Good for him. And then I chopped in the big blind. Now in the small blind with 7-6 of hearts, someone opens, you know, small 15, and everyone calls. And I put in the $10 with 7-6 of hearts. Multi-way. It comes 8-7-4 with a heart. And everyone checks, and it does not seem like anyone has an ace. And the turn is one of the good cards for my hand. It's a deuce, and it's, you know, a heart would have been better, or 7 or 6 obviously be the best, but it's lower than the 7 is what I'm saying. And so I just bet small here because no one has an ace, and my hand should be best. And I get 2 calls, and that doesn't mean anything, I don't think, in these games. And the river's a king, and I check. I hope to just win here, and it checks around, and I show my 7-6 on 8-7-4 deuce king, and the first person, the preflop raiser folds, can't beat my 7, and the next person had pocket 8s. So you just, this is also, when you're in the poker abyss, you just get notched every time. But also, if you believe in accountability, and I do, or what? I know that if I'm playing my A game, which is just not going to happen on this day, I bet that river because I do factor in someone has a pocket pair over 7 a bunch, right? And so I do, and then I turn my hand into a bluff, which on the turn I was just protecting my equity, and now on the river I turn into a bluff. And if I'm playing my A game, I think along those lines and I win this pot, but you know, I just still got notched and whatever. Now an older guy, I used to say old man, but I'm fucking 47, so I can't, I'm old, or I'm getting there, so I say older. He's older than me, he's like 60 something probably. He opens, and I have ace, queen of spades, and I 3-bet, and he folds, and this was the very next hand on the button. And so when I 3-bet, I just anticipate this guy going all in, and I'm going to fold if he does, but he didn't, he folded. And then I folded for a little while, and I opened ace, deuce of hearts, and everyone folded. And I wrote, "Is this enough content? Are you not entertained?" is what I wrote. And then I wrote, "JK, just kidding." But I was tilting balls. My financial situation plus my work situation and my schedule situation, and shout out to the situation, Jim Tan Laundry, has me fucking on tilt, and especially that hand with queens against 9-6. And the guy just clicked buttons all over the place, and it looked genius because he got all the money. And I'm thinking, I used to crush the toughest games. I did for a very, very long time. Two periods in my career. And against the toughest players that No Limit Hold'em had to offer live. The toughest ones. Like, they would quit. Like guys you see sitting with 100K often, they would fucking quit when it got short. And now I can't even win in the softest games on the planet. And hold that for later as well. But these games are really good. If you ever see a meetup in your area, even if you don't want to support whatever vlogger it happens to be, go, the game's going to be good. And Brad and Andrew are fucking awesome and funny and all that. sound guy, will you edit out that cough, please? All right. And this sip of coffee, too. Okay. So, I straddle because that's what I do. And so it's 5-5-10. And I have Jack 9 offsuit, and a bunch of people limp. And now the big blind makes it a trillion. The kid who, you know, doubled through me with his 9-6. And I fold. I have to fold. This is just, it would be a horrible continue spot. And someone called and it came 10-10-8. I would have flopped open-ended. And the kid bombed, like bombed. And so this kid is impossible to read because his line doesn't make any, in general, his lines don't make any sense. And it's working very well for him. And you know, whoever it was in the pot folded. So you should never have a squeeze huge, get one caller, comes 10-10-8 rainbow, and you fucking bomb? No. Not one person will tell you you should have a bomb range there. And so it's just, you know, me thinking, what the fuck? This kid is just a clicker. And good for him. That, you know, I'm not judging him. I'm just saying it's hard to play against people like this. You just want to play a more standard way. And just, you know, not less exploit when someone's just confusing as shit. And I don't know. So my big blind, king three offsuit, and I let it go. Someone opens, I let it go. And I look around, and there are so many games, tables, just filled with people who are happy. And it's got a buzz. It reminds me of the boom. It's people laughing, talking about poker, putting money in awfully all over the place. This is the resurgence. Started with the vloggers. Us podcasters, we might help a little bit, but nothing like the vloggers are helping with the resurgence of poker. And these meetup games are fucking fantastic. And the streams. The streams are really good for it as well. And yeah. And I see, so I'm just kind of reflecting now as, I don't know, some hands may be taking a long time or just not getting any cards to play. I see the waitress who the night before gave me my ice and my caffeine before I went up into the booth to commentate for 6 hours. And she gave me this big plastic cup with ice and a lid that didn't quite fit. Like I was up there in a straw and I was up there, you know, trying to get the lid on because I don't want to spill over this really expensive equipment. And it just was, it didn't quite fit. So, you know, you're trying to push it on and it's like coming up on the left, now on the right, and you're like, fuck. And then I realized it was, I kind of got it on, but it wasn't like latched on. It was just kind of barely on. And then I realized there's no hole for the straw. So this waitress, she was sweet. She did me dirty with that. This is what I was thinking about before I started, you know, commentating to 4,000 or 5,000 people or whatever. And I saw her and made me smile thinking about that whole memory. And the guy on my right, who's been clicking a lot, is also mimicking the pros. And this is, you saw this during the boom as well. You saw Tom Dwan would put his chips in between his fingers like a lobster claw. And then he would like robot arm, stick his arm out and then open the claw and let the chips out. And it was just pretty funny looking if you saw it on TV. And then you would see kids doing it in all the casinos. And you're seeing that again from the streams. You see people mimicking Garrett and others. And the kid on my right is doing that with the lifting two hands up. Like he wants to see how much someone at the other end of the table has. And so he's just lifting his two hands up like, lift your hands up, motherfucker. I need to see your chips before I kill you. That kind of vibe. And it's a good sign. I don't agree with doing the double hand lift. I like saying like, I'm sorry, I can't see how much you have. Can I see how much you have? Like, that's better. That's a better approach. Poker's a fucking social game. So, but it's funny to me to see in this game, this kid who's just clicking his balls off in hands, doing this, mimicking the, it's a good sign. It means there is a resurgence. It means a lot of people are watching this shit and they're going to, you know, mimic. And here's an interesting hand where I'm the small blind and Under the Gun opens, and it's the older guy. And then UTG one, so he opens to 15, and the next guy goes to 60. And then Garrett Jr. on the button flats. And that's just the kid, you know, Garrett obviously doesn't click. Garrett's probably the best live No Limit Hold'em player going right now. But the guy's mimicking him with other stuff, and it's funny. So Garrett Jr. flats the 3-bet on the button after he does the hand lifts. Like, lift your hands up, motherfuckers. Okay, call 60, and I fold whatever cheese they dealt me. And now the original raiser 4-bets to 150. And the original 3-better calls. And so the original raiser is an older Asian man, and the original 3-better is an older Caucasian. And the Garrett Jr. is a young dude at the other end, my end of the table. So let me just rewind this. It's my small blind. Doesn't really matter. Under the Gun is an OMC type, and he opens to 15. And Under the Gun 1 goes to 60. These are strong ranges, and the button is the kid with all the chips now, who had the 9-6 and donk, 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 snap, shoved on me. And he does the lift your hands, guys, without saying anything. It's fine. I'm just noting it. It's a good sign that poker is making a resurgence when people are mimicking the pros. And he calls the 60, and now the Under the Gun guy goes to 150, and the next guy calls. You know, so now it's a 4-bet call, and now Garrett Jr. says, I'm all in. And they're all in, all three of these players. It's a massive pot, and if you like these stakes, you should definitely play in any meetup game you can go to. Even if you don't want to meet the vlogger, you should. These are sick fucking games. I'm not in the mood to play poker. I'm playing for content, and that's just the story for now. Next year, I'll be playing poker. I'm going to try and play well and play big and watch what happens. But anyways, we're here now. And I'm thinking that Garrett Jr. asked the dealer to create side pots. Just not a good idea. But he asked the dealer to, because it's just going to take a bunch of time. Like, how much do you have? Okay, this person has 465. This person has 595. And this person covers, and we don't need to make three pots. You deal the hand, and then you figure that stuff out. Because if the guy with the most chips wins, you don't need to do that shit. Just give all the chips to that. And that would be Garrett Jr. in this spot. And he's lucky. He's probably going to win anyways. But while they're doing this, I'm thinking, I originally wanted to buy in for 500 because I didn't have much money on me, and I just wanted to, no stress, just get some good content. And, but I also, you know, they're so busy in that room that I asked the chip runner for, five whites as well. So I asked for 500 in yellow, $5 chips and five whites as well. And I just said, fuck it. Like, this game looks, you know, whatever. I'm just going to put it on. I'm just going to buy him for 1,000. So I just changed. Initially, I'd said I'm in for 500, and I just said, fuck it. And I'm thinking that Queen's hand would have played differently if I just had 500. Either I would have only lost 500, or I would have stuffed the turn and maybe won. And that this is when you're in the abyss, every little thing you do affects, you know, it changes the course of what's going to happen, and it usually goes poorly for you. Anyways, they figure out the three pots, and Garrett Jr. has pocket kings, and he makes kings full, of course, and he stacks both these players, and he has all the money. And the two players that got stacked don't care. They're laughing, they're having fun, and this is how it should be. And this is the vibe in this room on this day. It reminds me of the boom. I was in the boom, and it reminds me of it. It's cool to see, and I'm not in a good place for it, but, you know, the writer in me can still observe. And so props to all those that are part of the resurgence, the vloggers, the podcasters a little bit, but the people who play on stream, the people who produce streams, yeah, this is pretty legit. And let's see if I can finally start to have a resurgence in poker myself. I open the button with 10-3 of hearts. It's just the hand they dealt me. And I open to $20 because now I'm, you know, I just decided the rake is too big to open to 15. And I just, you know, I'll happily just take the $10 pre-flop. Maybe they take a dollar. I'm not even sure. And, well, the small blind folds, and the big blind, who is the older Asian dude, calls. And he doesn't even have chips yet because he just got stacked by Garrett Jr. on my right. And I have 10-3 hearts, and it comes 6-4 deuce with a heart. A gutter ball, a backdoor flush draw, an overcard. Not bad, dealer. And this older Asian gentleman checks, and I bet 25 with the intention of seeing what the turn card is, and I'm going to win this pot. You know, turn card could be an ace, and turn card could be a king. I'm going to win on both of those cards, or I just might win right now, or I could make a hand. That's always an option. And he calls. And so I just know he has a piece. He's got a four, a six, or a deuce. And, okay, so I do want one of those good cards to bluff on, an ace or a king. Well, the dealer must have a crush on me because she put a 10 out there. Oh, my God. I just made top pair. I just made the sneaky top pair. The continuation bet on 6-4 deuce, 10 comes. That should be a card that doesn't matter. It matters a lot because your protagonist had 10-3 suited in position like a fucking whale. And what happens? He checks. And now I'm thinking about the Mirage. I'm thinking about squaring off against Johnny Moss, Doyle Brunson, Amarillo Slim. And I have to pretend like I'm thinking about the hand, though. And I bet $65. I think that's the right amount. And he calls quickly. I expected him to call with whatever piece he flopped. When he calls quickly, I know he has piece plus draw. So it could be a 6-4 or deuce with a 3 or a 5. There are two spades now on the board. The turn was 10 of spades. And he calls quickly, the 65. And the river's a jack of spades. And I was going to bet a lot on some rivers, right? If the board pairs, I'm betting a lot because he's going to think I'm bluffing. I lost the big pot. He's probably steamed up from Garrett Jr. stacking him. But I have to downsize to 85 here because it's harder to get value. He will make a crying call with all his pieces here against me, I'm pretty sure. And so I bet 85, and it's a little unfortunate that the river was a bad card to get value on. And what also is unfortunate is that he says, I'm all in. Oh, my God. I this is 100% a backdoor flush. I just fold, grab my chips, and go to the cage. And I'm not in a good place. But anyways, let's cash out, and then let's walk out to the parking lot together. The weather's beautiful, at least. And then we'll check the Save the Princess scores. We'll see if there's going to be a session season 5. I'm coming up next year no matter what. I am. I'm going to, I'll be playing more poker, longer sessions. So each setback won't bother me as much. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do all the things to go into a session correctly. And it's going to be a problem for the people in my games. It always has been. It's even a problem when I'm not ready to play. But when I'm running bad, then you can't do anything about that. But it's going to be a problem, and we'll see if it's going to be documented. If this fucking problem in No Limit World is going to be documented next year, we have to get the 2022 points by December 19th of this year. Let's see. Let's walk out there. Here, let's cash out real quick, and then let's go out in the parking lot. All right. Here, thank you. Here's a dollar. Have a good day. Okay, let's walk out here in the parking lot. This place is cool, yeah? It is. I didn't spend a lot of time in the Hustler before this. I like it. Okay, here we are. There's that South Bay air. Isn't it nice? Breathe it in. It's fucking good. All right, and then let's walk out to my trusty old Lexus. And right, there it is. Okay, and now I'm going to read you guys the scores off my phone on NevadaGamingCommission.com. And let's see how we're doing. We're winding down the year and okay, so under STP, Save the Princess on NevadaGamingCommission.com, the first line under that says hours 468 of 460. So we're 8 ahead of pace, and also this number makes sense because we had 462 hours last week, and we played 6 this week, 5 in the first session, the bonus session, which started as 5-5-10. That's the Hustler game that I'm building. It started as 5-5-10, and it turned into a much bigger game late into the wee hours of the next morning. And then only 1 hour in the session you just heard about, the Brandrew meetup game, and I just had nothing inside. As I mentioned several times, I just was in the worst place possible to play poker, but I wanted to get content. I wanted to be supportive, and I ran bad, and I just had to call it after 1 hour, and I appreciate all you chilling with me out here while we check these scores. And some weeks, like this one, when I'm at the Hustler for my commentating gig, and when I'm playing my sessions in their amazing room, it is fucking amazing. I haven't run hot in it at all yet, but these weeks, all drops of sessions are public because they sponsor this podcast, and they don't ask me to do anything. But by sponsoring this podcast, they become part of my story, my comeback story, and so it works. It's mutual benefit, and I live for that shit. Anyways, if you want all the drops on the weeks I'm not at the Hustler, I'm only at the Hustler 1 week a month currently, and you want the old seasons of sessions, there's lots of spew in there. There's another main event series that people really like from 2019. There are a lot of interviews that people like. A five-part interview with Garrett Adelstein, Matt Berkey, just a bunch of people, Matt Moore. You want access to all that and my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, which is a mental health podcast. It has dark moments, but it has very helpful moments as well. Or you want to be part of this amazing community that I'm building, DGAF community, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player and sign up to become a patron for $4.22 a month or more. And it's easy. Going to that website's easy. Signing up is very easy. And then there's instructions how to hook up your custom RSS feed, which means most people on their sessions or the public, if they subscribe to sessions, they just get they have whatever drops that have been public this year. But you click on a couple buttons, and once you're a patron, and you're going to have close to 800 drops that you can listen to whenever you want. And yeah, it's all easy, and it's the only way to get the intimate details of my life. And some people like that. Some people like the storytelling. Some people like the interviews. Something for everyone. Anyways, let's go to the second line. The second line under STP says Poker Rags 962 of 846. So this number's been carrying us this year, but we could also do way better. Let's hear who scored points for us in week 46, who the MVP was, if there was one, and who got Employee of the Week, if there was one of those as well. Howard in Oakland, California got us a point. Thank you very much, Howard. So Howard bought something from PokerEggs.us, and that's a point. And Derek and Santee did the same thing. And Santee's not too far from where I'm at right now. Thank you, Derek. That's in San Diego. And Andrew in Naples, Florida. That is far from where I'm at. 2 points. So Andrew either bought 2 items from PokerAggs or he bought something from the Story collection. And that's if you go to Team PokerAggs, click on Team PokerAggs. There are 6 of us on Team PokerAggs. Marley, Check Raise Charles, The Savages, 08 Grinder, Super, I can never say his name. Suited Superman, myself. Well, I don't even know who I said already. But anyways, if you click on mine, there's different brands under mine, and there's The Story, and it says it's just The Story, and anything that you buy that says it's just The Story, you get 2 points. So Andrew either bought one of those or he bought 2 items. I don't know. It doesn't say here on the Nevada Gaming Commission website. And then Zach from Palmer, Massachusetts, 2 points as well. Thank you very much, Zach. And then we do have an MVP qualifier. So if you don't mind, don't worry about the security going up and down the parking lot in their golf carts. They just do that for our protection. They don't mind if we chant MVP real quick. So can you guys help me with that? Thank you. Your week 46 most valuable purchaser at Poker Rags from St. Louis, Missouri is none other than Neuro Nerd, who got 13 points. And some of you have been listening to sessions since the beginning, and maybe you have forgotten who Neuro Nerd is or was. Before this was a community, before there was a community where people chose screen names and interacted and became friends and played poker against each other and bet sports against each other and did all this stuff against each other and went to dinner with each other and played golf and all that. Before that, there was someone supporting my content who just put me and my kids up in a nice hotel room for dad's miss. And that's when you're divorced and your kid's primary residence is with their mom, you have dad's miss. And that means somewhere else where you celebrate with your kids and get them some gifts. And it's really quality time. It's really amazing time, maybe more for the dad than the kids, maybe the same for both. I don't know, but I didn't have a residence when I moved out of their residence for a few years, I think 2 or 3 years. And I didn't have any money. I still don't have any money, but I didn't have any money. And this one person who listened to the podcast said, I'm getting you a room for a couple nights and pick somewhere nice. And so I referred to him as the angel of Dadsmas because I had no idea who he was. And he wanted to be anonymous. And he's just so supportive and generous and communal. And then fast forward, well, then I build a community for the people who are supporting me. And it's a lot of people cut from the same cloth. And this person chooses the screen name NeuroNerd. He's a neuroscientist. And he's not really a nerd, but he is a neuroscientist. And he's, you know, I've hung out with him. I've drank beers with him. I've gambled with him. He's been a big part of this story and my what is it called? My pending third rise. And so what he did recently is one of the channels on Slack. If you're at $4.22 a month or more as a patron, you get all the content, close to 800 drops at this point. You know, all those interviews, everything you could ever want, bedtime stories for days and or nights, I should say, for most of you. And anyways, you also get you get membership to the community and you can be on the forum. You can come to our amazing meetup every year and you can interact with like minds or like hearts, I should say, on the forum. And then if you go to the next level, you get an invitation to our Slack group, DGAF Slack group. And all this stuff is named DGAF, and it's not about me at all, but that's just what people named it. And I'm not DGAF anyways. That's just a screen name. It's an ideal. An ideal? Yeah, maybe. That's what it's called. But anyways, there's one of my favorite channels on there is for the biggest degens. It's called the Dice Den. And so it's hashtag dice-den. And you go in there and you roll electronic dice against others. And then you settle up via Venmo after. So the game we've been playing lately is 5 people get in there. Or hopefully 6 people get in there, right? And we roll electronic dice. 100 dice with 100 sides. So you just put, you put backslash, I think it's backslash, or maybe it's forward. It's forward slash roll, and then you put a space 100D100, and you hit return. And then it'll roll the dice for you and tell you what your score was. And the middle number you could roll is 50-50. And that's just, and so 6 people roll with the same rolls, and whoever gets closest to 50-50 pays everyone else $20. So that person loses $100, and it's just really fun. It's just so much fun. It's so degen, and the Dice Den is—it's not for everyone. It's for the true fucking degens. And what NeuroNerd did, I didn't even know, is he worked with some people at PokerAgs. I think Mike Trout, mainly. That's our marketing guy, and he had these Dice Den shirts made, and then he bought 13 of them and sent them to different people in the community. That's this guy. He's done so much, and it was cool. I mean, it's beyond cool, but it was cool to think back to, wait, NeuroNerd used to be Angel of Dadsmas back in the day. I just didn't know how many people knew that, but thank you, Neuro. That we got to 19 points for the week, which is very reasonable, but 13 of them came from this this really special dude out there in St. Louis, Missouri. And thank you. And it says, Employee of the Week, Mike Trout, getting creative, starting to own his area. So I don't decide this shit. The Nevada Gaming Commission does. But apparently, they're saying that we all have our own areas, right? Like, Jody Savage is an owner of Poker Eggs. Her area is getting the designs placed on the clothing, getting everything tagged correctly, and she's product, right, and customer service. And E-Donk is in charge of Team Poker Eggs. He should be working with Marley and 08 Grinder, and let me see if I can say his name correctly right now, Suited Superman, and Check Race Charles, and Raising the Nuts, and he doesn't need to work with me. I got this shit. I know how to sell shit. We all have our own, there are more people, and we have our own parts of this business, and if we all own our own parts, this thing takes off. It's ready. It's there for us. And so Nevada Gaming Commission is recognizing Mike Trout is starting to get creative in owning his marketing. He doesn't need ideas from us. He just needs to do shit. And it sounds like they gave him Employee of the Week. That's pretty high honor, Mike Trout. Congratulations. And thank you to the customers who put points on this line in week 46. If you listening would also like to put points on this line, thus literally becoming part of the story by helping to keep this podcast going, while at the same time sprucing up your wardrobe with the most comfortable and cool-looking clothes on the planet, head over to PokerRags.us and just start clicking like Garrett Jr. did with 9-6 of Hearts. Okay, the third score under STP says results 72 of 94. So I get 3 points for a win, and I lose 3 points when I lose. And I had what? I had one win and one loss this week. My win was baby, and my loss was a little bit bigger. And on the year, 58 and 34. So 58 wins and 34 losses. And this is me not winning. When I say I can't win this off these games, well, technically I still am. 58 wins and 34 losses. I just can't get anything going, like string together a bunch of good sessions where I win big and then play bigger. That's how you rise. And part of it has been my schedule, and I'm making changes to that. Part of it has been my mindset going into sessions. I have plans for that for next year, and part of it has been variance, which is, you know, is really a big factor in all this. But yeah, okay. The fourth score under STP says Patrons 396 of 460. So let's see what happened here. Michael signed up. Thank you, Michael. 4 points. Someone went from 844 to 422. It's okay. We didn't lose any points on the board. Dead Ned. That's a good screen name. Went from 422 to 1688. So what happens is people come in at 422. They want the content. And there's a lot of it. 800 drops is a lot. And they, you know, they dabble in the community a little bit. They go on the forum. It's just like 2 plus 2 poker forums, but it's all for patrons. And then they want more. They want to interact on Slack, and they might want to play poker rake free, or they just want to be more supportive. I don't know what it was in Dead Ned's case, but he went from 422 to 1688, and that's pretty awesome. Thank you, Dead Ned. And then someone deleted, and it's okay. It's minus 4. And then Manny signed up. That's 4. Thank you, Manny. Roderick War went from 844 to 1688 because Roderick War wanted to play in these juicy DGAF home games. And I'm going to do a lot going into next year to build these games out, have more tournaments. And I'm never going to make a penny off these games. People have told me you're an idealist fuckface a million times. And I say, every time I say, I know. And I'm not taking any rake. The rake that is generated by the app, we're using towards good stuff. We've used it towards building that forum. We've used it towards buying a bunch of like good information on crypto. We have a crypto channel on Slack, and it benefits everyone. And we've also put a lot of people, or not a lot of people, but a handful of people in tournaments, including Check Raise Charles in the main event most recently. And the way that worked was, so yeah, people are in there. They play a lot of poker, and they're going to play even more next year. So if you're in by the start of the year, you're going to have all the shares available. If you're at 1688 or higher, you're going to have all the shares available for the next main event. And we'll generate enough rake to put someone in the main event. And that's pretty cool, because if you do the math on that, 1688 times 12 is what? Around $200. And a lot of people that were at 1688 or higher the whole time in the past year, they just got $150 sent to them from DGA of home games. So it's almost like they didn't really have to pay. And had Check Raise Charles made a deeper run, he didn't have any cards. I'm not saying he should have, but had he made a deeper run, they would have profited from being patrons. And a lot of people are up money from being patrons one way or another. And anyways, yeah. So, and then someone fixed their credit card. 4 points for that. We got 8 points total. And 329 patrons at this point of the story. 43 declined cards still. But that just is what it is. And let's get you out of here. And let's get me on the road back to San Diego. The fifth score, the final line under STP, is the score. It's the consolidation of the four scores I just read off. And it's called Countdown to 2022. Because conveniently, if we score 2,022 points total by December 19th of this year, Sessions lives on in the year 2022. And it'll have a new vibe to it. It won't be me telling the story of going in and playing on fumes all the time. It'll be me telling the story of fucking owning people's faces in bigger games and pushing the limits and all that. But anyways, this one says 1898 of 1860. So 38 points ahead of pace to keep this podcast alive for another year. And we're 92% of our way through the journey, the Save the Princess journey that, you know, began at the beginning of this year. We will have a big hit coming at the turn of the month. Every turn of the month, there is a, you know, in real time, it's already become December, but in the story, it's not. And there's always a bunch of new declined credit cards at that point and some cancellations, whatever. We have a sweat. And if you want to put two easy points on the board, go to PokerEggs.us, click on Team PokerEggs, click on DGAF, and click on the story. Find something you like. 2 points for each thing that says the story. Anyways, let's get the fuck out of here, because these dudes on the golf carts, the security, it's good security, but they probably want us to get the fuck out of here now, because we're just huddled around my trusty old Lexus, and I'm reading shit off my phone like a weirdo. I want to thank everyone who has put points on the STP scoreboard this far in this Make or Break Season 4. And I want to give a very special thanks to all the patrons for their continued support. You all are something. And I'll see all of you patrons on Monday. And I'll see the rest of you who aren't patrons yet on Friday for week 47 of 50, titled Thankful AF. And whether you are a patron or not, whether you typically listen to Sessions, you know, 4 times a week or once a week, whatever, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. Okay, sound guy, good job today, aside from that alarm. I got to go get my kids now. Can you wrap this? I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life? I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer, because otherwise...